Okay, shalom aleichem, everybody. Let me see, make this a little better. Agut yor, everyone. Yesterday we learned b'zayis habracha. I'd like to speak a little bit about that. People don't get a chance even to be mabeset ram b'zayis habracha. Svarna has a very interesting comment on the parsha b'zayis habracha. Where does the bracha begin? So he says the bracha only consists of the very last pasuk. Because the difference between a bracha and a tefillah is a bracha, I say, you should have hatzlocha. I speak to the person. And here, Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it say here? He says, Tumechu le'orecha lishchasi decha, says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're umetumim, you gave to Levi. Most of the psukim is like that. Shema Hashem kol Yehuda. Hashem should listen to Yehuda's tefillahs. That is saying to Yehuda, you should be matzliach. He speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Almost all of them like that. I think all of them are like that. The only bracha that's beloshen doicha chato is when he gives the bracha to Eretz Barzan alachoshes min olecha ochyamecha davecha Eretz Yisrael. Should be successful, it should be safe, it should be protected. Like you put a lock on the country that the enemy shouldn't be able to come in. Just like the early years of the Hakamas HaMedina, in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, just like in the early years, everything was with Nisim Eflah. So too, Dabecha, for Yoylam Voed, the Medina should be safe. And the enemy should never be able to penetrate. So the second part of the bracha was not fulfilled. The Rebbeinu Shlom didn't allow Moshe Rabbeinu to come to over Eretz Yisrael to give the bracha. He told me you have to give the bracha from a distance. The closer you are to the person, like when you give a bracha, Birchas Kohanim has to be panim keneged panim. You have to face each other. And it has to be b'kol ram, you have to say out loud. So Yaakov Avinu wanted to give a bracha to Yosef's children, Menashe Avraham. So he says, Kochem no elai, Vavorchem, bring them over to me, and I want to give them a bracha. And he wants to put his hands on their heads, puts on Menashe Avraham. So over here, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have crossed over the Yarden, he would have given the bracha to Eretz Yisrael, to Medina Yisrael. So the whole bracha, he would have been up close in Eretz Yisrael, and the bracha would have been fulfilled to a much greater extent, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished B'nai Yisrael. He was gozer after the Chet HaEgel, that even if when they'll cross over the Yarden and they'll build a Beis HaMikdash, that Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed and B'nai Yisrael will be sent into Golus. And the Pesukim of Chumash, it's not really that clear, but in Yecheskel and in Tehillim it's explicit like that, that right after the Chet HaEgel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already told them then, this is Tisha B'Av, Atem B'chisem B'chir Shalchinam, Ani Kaveh Lechem B'chir L'Doris. There's going to be a B'chir L'Doris that the first and the second Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed on Tisha B'Av. So the Gemara has that, but it's based on the Pesukim in Yecheskel and in Tehillim, where it says B'feirish like that. So after the Chet HaEgel, it was Nigzar Menei Yisrael, that the Rumas are going to have Shlita. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha to be completely fulfilled. So that's why he said, give the bracha from a distance. I don't want you to give the bracha up close. Give the bracha up close. The whole bracha will have to be fulfilled. So he gave it from a distance. So that's what the Sfarna has, this interesting comment, that everything is really a hakdama. Rashi writes, the beginning of Zayis HaBracha is hakdama. What is Moshe Rabbeinu saying? That's not part of the bracha, that's a hakdama. He's speaking about Shebach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's warming up till he's going to get to the bracha. So when does he get to the bracha? Oh, by all the shvatim, it's not a bracha, it's a tefillah. The only part that's a bracha that's given, that's the bracha to Medina Yisrael, to Eretz Yisrael. So the bracha only consists of that one pasuk. That is very interesting. What does it mean? Hashem is seen abot. So Rashi quotes from the Tanaim, "Kechosan hayotzi likras hakalo." some have the practice that when the Kala marches down, the Al Chassan marches first, Chassan's under the chuppah, and then when the Kala marches down, so the Chassan goes from under the chuppah to greet the Kala, Ka Chassan Hayetze Likras HaKala. The Pashtun says that that's not correct. Rav Soloveitchik didn't like that. The Sfaradim have such a practice, but he, Rav Soloveitchik, didn't like that at all. He thought that the Ashkenazim picked it up from the Catholics, that the groom goes to greet the bride and he takes her, the parents give over their daughter to the groom, and the groom takes the daughter to under the chuppah arm in arm. So they should thought that Kala B'lai Bracha Asur L'Bai L'Kenida, he's not allowed to take her arm in arm. And the Pashto says that idea, Chosan Ayotze Likros HaKala, that's in the days of Tanakh to the days of the Goyim, that the girl would be in Arusa for a year. The girl would be Arusa for a year, so then they're Chosan Kala. So then when it would happen, Nisuin, he's taking his wife. He's going to Chosan Ayotze Likros HaKala, but Bayas are just engaged. She's not Ishtoi, so it's not really Chosan Ayotze Likros HaKala. Rabbi Breuer, Zechan Lebrachim, was always makpid. He didn't like to refer to an engaged couple as a chasen kala. He would refer to them as meshudach and a meshudechet. If I'm not mistaken, I think Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz has like that in one of his drushes, one of his collection of drushes, that a couple who are engaged take liberties and they think they're allowed to touch each other and so on. He says that there's no heter, so he says we shouldn't call them chasen kala. Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz says like this. Better to call them a meshudach and a meshudachatz. It's not really chasen ayo, it's a likros hakala by us, because they're only engaged and not even married. But that's, the Gemara says in Baba Kama around Daf Lamed, that when the Amoraim would go be mekabel Shabbos, they would walk out of their homes, out of the shul, and walk to greet the Shabbos kechosan hayetze likros hakala. We say boy chala, as if the Jewish people is married to such a medrash, as if the Jewish people is married to the Shabbos. There's a strange medrash that the day of Shabbos came to complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Monday has a ben zug with Sunday, and Wednesday has a ben zug with Tuesday. And Friday has a ben zug with Thursday, and Shabbos is all alone. So the Baruch Shalom said, "It's okay, Bnei Yisrael will be your ben zug." What does that mean? We're not sure exactly, but that's what the Gemara says, that the Shabbos is the kala. So you go to greet the kala, you go to be mekabel the kala. So it's based on the Marsha says on that Gemara and Baba Kam. It's based on this comment that the Tanai made over here. Yechosan hayetz likros hakala. What do we say? Torah Tzivalana Moshe by Rosha Kihilos Yaakov. The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu said in Avuah in Mitzrayim, they say, Siv Yitzalte Vigalte Belakachti, Evi Esieschem Liliom, Menesata Lachem Esaharetz Marasha Ani Hashem. So he wasn't sure what the word Marasha meant. He delivered the Nevuah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to deliver Nevuah word for word the way he was told. The other Nevi'im were not given a Nevuah word for word. The other Nevi'im were given a Mare and a Chazon, and they had to interpret the Mare with the Ruach HaKodesh that was Shur Aleihem, and each Navi would say it in his own words. And Moshe Rabbeinu was the one Navi who was given direct dictation word for word and letter for letter. So he said word for word, HaKodesh Baruch Hu told him. And years later, when the B'nai Slavchad came with the Shaila, so the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure what the word Marasha meant. Does it mean the same as Yerusha? Yerusha imi abaseinim emoysa Avram Avinu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu, kum yisalach ba'oretz la'orko l'roch bo kilucho etineno. It means Avram Avinu, by walking around the borders of Eretz Yisrael, acquired ownership of Eretz Yisrael that constituted a kinya chazoke. The Doris, there's one Tana holds, yes, one Tana holds, but Rabbi Blazer holds like that in Boba Basra, that if I want to sell you a Pardes, and I tell you, walk around the corners, you walk around the borders of the Pardes, so you kind of, just like Avraham Avinu, by walking around the borders of Eretzel acquired ownership, so there's such a din the Doris, and we don't accept that opinion. So the Shaila is, but in the days of Avraham Avinu, was that a Hairu Ashur that constituted a Kinyi Chazoka? and Avraham Avinu acquired ownership of Eretz L'chavet Tinenu al yidei ha'aruch halicha kum hisalach baretz l'akel rachbo, that by walking k'l'chavet Tinenu, it was a Hiroshua at that time that was the Kinyan Chazoka. Maybe no. Maybe Giluchat Tenena was a promise that's going to be fulfilled in the distant future. In the days of Yeshua ben Nun, well, Bnei Yisrael will conquer the land. Then they'll acquire ownership by Yidei Kibush. Kibush Muhammad is an international Kinyan. So the Gemara says, one opinion in Perikei Shnochan, that this was the Sofek of Moshe Rabbeinu, that Tzlavchot ben Chefer was a b'chor to his father. So b'chor is entitled to Pishnayim. This din the Bnei Tzlavchot knew, and Moshe Rabbeinu knew also the din, that if there's no sons, then the daughters get Yerusha. What he was mesupik about was a totally different shaila, that Tzlavchot was a b'chor, and b'chor gets Pishnayim only b'muchzak and not b'ra'ui. So the question is, what about the chelik in Eretz Yisrael? Is that considered muchzak or is that considered roi? Did he already belong to Avraham Avinu when he walked around the borders? And when Avraham Avinu died, it went Beirusha to Yitzchak. And then when Yitzchak died, it went Beirusha to Yaakov and then to the Shvatim. So it's mamish muchzak. So the land of Eretz Yisrael was muchzak. And so Mechzaka say, I was saying, it's Avraham Avinu. Or maybe we should assume that it was a promise, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised he's going to give Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu, but they didn't acquire the ownership of the land until Yeshua ben Nun conquered it with the Jewish army. So in that case, then it should be considered ra'ui. The b'chor doesn't get pishnayim in ra'ui. Only gets only what the father possessed already at the time of death. Let's say the father bought the sweepstakes ticket. He bought a lottery ticket. Then the drawing of the lottery takes place after the father died. And turns out that the father won the lottery, but he didn't have that asset. He didn't have that sweepstakes. He didn't have that winning ticket. He had a ticket, but it wasn't the winning ticket till after he died. So that's called ra'ui. So the poor doesn't get pishlaim on that. So one time in the Gemara says that was the suffix that Moshe Rabbeinu had by Bnei Tzlavchot. Where did he come up to give such a wild shot? Because the pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu says the nevuah to Bnei Yisrael, Nason titein lahem achuzas nachalo. Why a kefa loshan Nason titein? Means that she give them the double portion. Yes, they are entitled to the Pishnayim. So that's what the Gemara, according to this Tana, the Gemara interprets, that was the suffix that Moshe Rabbeinu had on the occasion of Bnei Tzlavchot. When I delivered the nevuah before Yitzias Mitzrayim, and I said, Nasati osa lachem morasha, does morasha mean the same as Yerusha? Or does it mean something else? Is it, so the Gemara comes to the conclusion, yes, morasha does mean Yerusha. When Avraham Avinu walked around the borders, that constituted the Kinyan Chazok. We don't accept Rav Lezer's opinion. The Tana Rav Lezer who holds that it constitutes even a Kinyan Chazok of Bizman Hazeh, we assume it was only Rashua once in the history of the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu walk around the borders and that will constitute a Kinyan Chazok. But Ledoris not, but Lishua that was the Kinyan Chazok. So what, according to the Gemara's Pshat, that Morosha does not mean Yerusha. So why is it different? Why is it called, what does it mean? What's Yerusha and what's Morosha? So the Pashta says that just like in English, they're two different words. One is an inheritance and one is a heritage. An inheritance means my rich uncle died and I got a couple of thousand. I happen to have a poor uncle who died. He was a soldier in the American Army in the Second World War. And after the war, he was in and out of veterans' hospitals all the time. He never really recovered. And he had a couple of thousand dollars when he passed away, which went birusha to his nephews and nieces. So Yerusha means an inheritance. And once you get the inheritance, you can do whatever you want. You can give the money to charity. You can give it away, you can throw it away, you can throw it in the garbage, you can invest it in the bank, you can do whatever you want, you can buy an automobile with it, you do whatever you want with it. But morosha means a heritage, means something that I got from an earlier generation, and it's understood that I have to transmit it to the next generation. But that's why the Chumash only has the word morosha by two things, by Eretz Yisrael, Mesati Yosel Lechem morosha. And by Torah, Torah, Tzivolana, Moshe, 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 Ki, Hilas, Yaakov, we all have an obligation to transmit the Torah in its entirety to the next generation. And Eretz Yisrael is not for sale, and we can't give it away to anybody else. We have to transmit it. It's a heritage. Heritage means you have to transmit it to the next generation. So that's the usage of that term. Torah Tzivah Lanu Moshe. The Gemara has a famous comment at the end of Makkos. Torah Begematria 611. And Moshe Rabbeinu told us 611 mitzvahs, and two mitzvahs HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us directly. Those two were told to us directly. That's how the Gemara came upon this idea that there were 613 mitzvahs. Usually we don't never learn out any dinim from a gematria, just par perois la chochma. That's the Loshon in Pirkei Avos and the Loshon in Mishnah in the end of the first perik in Chagiga. Par perois la chochma means that it's a cute idea. But it's not from the Midrash HaTorah in Rashi's mem. The Gemara seems to have learned out the din stam nazira shloshim yom from the gematria of Kodosh yiyeh gadol perasa rosho. So the Gemara says yiyeh b'gematria tlosan habi, yiyeh is 30 b'gematria. So the Ramam there, the Pirush HaMishnah Yisan Nozir, says that it's not so, that they never learned out any dinim from the gematria. They had a tradition that it's that stam nazira shloshim yom Alochal Moshe Messina. We don't, Gemara has one opinion. How do you know that there are Lamates of his Malacha? So one opinion is Dvarim HaDvarim, Ela HaDvarim, Aleph Lamed He is 36. And Dvarim is a plural, so it's 38. And HaDvarim, Ela HaDvarim, Shatziv Hashem is Bnei Yisrael. He tells him the Dinim of Shabbos. So the Pnei Yeshua says, Anad Gemara in Masach Shabbos. They never learned that. That's an Asmachta. The Tanaim never learned that any din of many gematrias. It's not from the Midrash HaTorah and the Midrash HaTorah. So that's a question over here, this whole idea of the Taryag Mitzvahs. The Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs writes there's such a the literature. In the days of the Ramban, there was already a literature. Today, it's 100 times bigger than it was in the days of the Ramban. The literature on the whole topic of Taryag Mitzvahs. So the Ramban's first comment is, are we sure that that's the accepted opinion? That there are 613 mitzvahs. Maybe that's only one man's opinion. At the end of Makkos quotes one Amora who says like that. So the Ramban thinks that the reason why this idea that there are Taryag mitzvahs became so popular is because it does appear in many, many different midrashim and many, many different agadotis in the Gemara. So it appears that it is the accepted opinion. Yeah, but it's a problem. It should be learned out from this pasuk Torah Tzivah Lanu Moshe, Torah B'Gematria. The Ramban himself raises an issue and he doesn't really give an answer. What do you mean? Anochi v'liyelecha is two mitzvahs. Anochi is one mitzvah. Says liyelecha is one. The Rambam attacks the Baal Halacha as Gedol as the Bahag is a sefer ha-mitzvahs. So the Bahag did not count Anochi Hashem Elokecha as a mitzvah. That's the premise. If you don't believe in God, then there's no mitzvah. If there's no mitzvah, so there are no mitzvahs. So that's the premise of all of the mitzvahs, is that the God that does exist. How can you say that God instructed us to believe in him? If we don't believe in him, so he doesn't exist, so then there's no one to be mitzvahs. So that's logically, it's a problem. Logically, it doesn't make sense that the mitzvah to believe in God should be the first of the Taryag mitzvah. So that's why the Bahag didn't count it. Question is, the Rambam and the Ramban did count it. The Ramban explains, that's why the Bahag didn't count it, but the Ramban himself agrees with the Ramam. And Anochi Hashem Elokecha does count, so that's a discussion. That's a discussion. Bechon of Asman has a whole explanation. So, but at least Anochi Hashem Elokecha, we know what the mitzvah is, to be ever aware of the fact, Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Summon, it's not a mitzvah to believe in God. If you don't believe in God, so then you can't, there's no mitzvah, so there's no mitzvah. It means we have a historical tradition from our ancestors, that they knew that God existed. They saw there were Nisim and Nefloas, and there was Gilu Shechina on the occasion of Makkos Bechoris, Mamed HaSinai, and Kriyas Yamsuf, and so on. So they know that God existed. Anochi Hashem Elokecha is a mitzvah to Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Summit, always to have that in the forefront of our thinking, to visualize as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here with us all the time. Not something should be latent piece of information in the back of our minds, should be in the forefront of our minds. So that's Anochi Hashem Elokecha is one mitzvah. But what do you mean, Liyelucha is one lav, not to believe in Avodah Zarah? So the Ramban says, but it has there a few lavim. לאכליהם אחריהם על פן המסע של הרטס ובכל תמונו, לששטח ולהם ולא יישא עובדיהם. So if you look and לא יהיה לך דרפור לאבן. So how does the Gemara say, and לך ולא יהיה לך two mitzvahs, one is a mitzvah sesay, one is a mitzvah sesay, and the other 611 are the gematria of Torah tzivah lan moshe. It's not 611. לא יהיה לך is already four, and לא יהיה is five. So it's five mitzvahs. So the Ramban doesn't answer that, Kash. But this is the pasuk Torah tzivah lan moshe by Rasha Kehilas Yaakov. Are you sure Melech? There are two ways to interpret the pasuk. Ibi Shur Melech Hakadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech, or the Moshe Rabbeinu is the Melech. And the Malchius, we include this as one of the four psukim in the Chumash that refer to Hakadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech. But other Mefarshim say that it goes on Moshe Rabbeinu had a din of Melech. Ibi Shur Melech. Apparently, the Chumash was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way that any given pasuk can have more than one level of interpretation. Okay. Bracha for Shevet Levi. Kohanim are included in Shevet Levi. So their responsibility, Shevet Levi's responsibility, is to makor karbonos and the Beis Hamikdash. And Yoram Mishpatecha the Yankev to Paskin Shailis, Saros Chali Yisrael, and to teach Torah, the Kohanim and the Levim, Lachatchila. The Rambam writes, if you're appointing members to the Sanhedrin Gdolah, to Sanhedrin Ktana, so if you have two candidates for an opening in the Sanhedrin, and they're equally qualified, and one is a Kohen or a Levi, so then it's preferable to appoint the Kohen or the Levi, based on this pasuk and other similar psukim. And that's the role of Shevet Levi. They're supposed to be teaching Torah. They're supposed to be paskening shailos for Klal Yisrael. Yoram Mishpatecha LeYankev. But they're supposed to be makriv de karbonos in the Beis Hamikdash as well. So the pasuk says, Yosim ektor be'apech v'chol olam mizbachecha, they'll be makriv de karbonos, she b'shevet Levi will be makriv karbonos, and Baruch Hashem chelo. What does that mean? So one pshat in the Gemara, Baruch Hashem chelo, pashu pshat, that this should be as gula for Ashiris. Baruch Hashem chelo, that the karbonos or makriv de karbonos should become wealthy. So that's the Mishnah in Yuma has that every day except for Yom Kippur, Alpi Pashtas, every day they used to have a pious. They used to take turns. Who will have the right to be makted ekteris? Because we may as well spread the wealth among all of the Kohanim. Why should only the same Kohen be zeche day after day to the school of Arshiris to be makted ekteris? So every day when they had the pious, when they had the lottery to determine who's going to be makted of Torah today. So they would say, Chadoshim lektoras bov hafisu. Only those who previously ever had a chance to be makted of Torah should be in the Hagrola, because we want to spread the wealth, we want to share the wealth. That's why in Shulchan Aruch it says that serving as a sandik is his gula for Hashiras. The Bundagon writes he never saw it. He doesn't believe that it's so, but that's what in Shulchan Aruch somehow they have like that. That Sandikos is his gula for Ashiris, and therefore it's not right to be mechabed the same person twice. But Sandikos, you should spread the wealth, just like Chadoshim Lektoras Bo'ov Afisu. So you shouldn't have the same person serve as a Sandik twice in the same family. The different families are different, but the same family, if they have another boy and another boy, they shouldn't give to the rabbi again. Some of the Gedolim wrote, if it's the grandfather, that's okay. Because it says by Yosef, Gambanim Bochum and Menashe, Yuldemal Birke Yosef. So the Yonis and Menazil writes on that posik that Yosef was the Sandik for the great grandchildren. Several of the great grandchildren from the same family. So you see, to give the grandfather, great grandfather, that's okay. When it says in Shulchan Aruch, you shouldn't be Mechabed, the same person, the same family shouldn't be Mechabed, same person twice to be in the Sandik. That means if it's the rabbi in the shul, or it's someone else, but if it's a great-grandfather, that's okay. But it's based on this pasuk, Baruch Hashem Chelo, that the one is Makter, the Torah says is Gula Vashir. But then the Gemara has another level of interpretation, totally a different level of interpretation. Baruch Hashem Chelo refers to a Cholo, usually a Kohen who's a Cholo. A Cholo is a Ben Grusha. If a Kohen marries a Grusha, so all the children are emptied out from Kedusha's Kuna, just like a Cholo. Chalal, Chalal means empty space, empty, a vacuum, empty space. So Baruch Hashem Chelo means even if a kohen is a cholam, he'll be makta dektoris, but he added it'll be kosher. L'chatchila, he shouldn't be makta dektoris. A cholam is b'checha. L'chatchila, he shouldn't be makra b'korban oil. A cholam means something that's kula cholam. He burned the whole thing. So l'chatchila, a kohen cholam should not do avoid and beis hamikdash. But he added, the avoid is not mukhulavas. It's really, it's counterintuitive. If anything, we would have distinguished between the Balmum and the Cholol in the other direction. The Balmum basically has Kedushas Kuhuna, but he's not allowed to be Makariv Karbanis. But he is a Kohen. He's not allowed to be Matamel Mesim. He's not allowed to marry a Grusha and so on. And he's permitted to eat Kochi Kochi. It says before, he's permitted to eat Shiori HaMincha and Chatas and Osham. And a Cholol is emptied out Kedush Kuhuna. He's permitted to marry a Grusha. He's permitted to go to the cemetery. He's permitted to be Matam Mesim. So if anything, one would have thought just the reverse, that a Cholol Sheavad B'Yevet is Aved Dosim Mechulelis, should be possible. And the Balmum Sheavad B'Yevet should be good, because basically he is a kind just as a psul. The thing is just the reverse, that the Balmum, even B'Yevet, Aved Dosim Mechulelis, he does no good. And the Cholol B'Yevet is Aved Dosim Sheavet. So this is one of the two psukim that the Gemara learns it out from. Yisirim K'tar B'Apech V'Cholol Amiz B'Chech the Kohanim Shebishevet Levi should be Makriv, the Korbanis and Baruch Hashem Chelol, will be good. The other Amar in the Gemara learns it out from a different pasuk that it says, you should bring the Matnas Kuna to the Kohen Ashiya Bayamim Ha'im. What do you mean, HaKohen Ashiya Bayamim Ha'im? So it means that there's a possibility that when I give him the Bikurim, he's a Kohen, and tomorrow he may be Ois Kohen. If it turns out, we didn't realize all the years, we didn't realize that this man was a Cholol. So as long as at the time that I gave him the Bikurim, he was a Kohen, we thought he was a Kohen, so that's called Kohen Ashiya Bayamim Ha'im. He was discovered to be a Cholol after I gave him already the Matnas Kuhunim. Yeah. There should be a big difference between the two. That's what they quote from the Panavish Rav. Should be a difference between the two. If you learn out from this Pasuk that a Cholol B'Yevet Avedosek Shera, so it could be that it's only with respect to Hakrobus Karbonis. Because here the Pasuk only says, Haktoras Ktoris, Asim Ktor Be'apecha, Echolo Amiz Bechech, only the burning the Ktoris, and about Hakrobus Karbonis. But let's say if the Kohen Cholo did a Pigyon Ben, and then we discover years later that he's a Cholo, then maybe you would have to repeat the Pigyon Ben. But based on the other Pasuk, it says, Hakohen Ashiya Bayamim Ha'im, that's going on Matnas Kuhuna. So it sounds like even if you did a Pidyon HaBen with this Kohen, he's discovered to be a Cholol later. Since at the time we thought that he was a Kohen Kosher, so you wouldn't have to repeat the Pidyon HaBen. That's a big question if that's Halacha L'maisa. What's the din in that case? So the Panim Vizirav thought it should depend on these two opinions in the Gemara. The Pasuk has an expression. Actually, what Yoy says. Gerish Yirachim. Gerish Yirachim. That some things grow Tvua Shomesh in Pasuk Yudav. Mega Tvua Shomesh. Some things grow because the sun shines on the vegetables. And some things grow because the moon is shining. Some things grow because of the moon. So because it says Gerish Yirachim, Gerish Yirachim means the tvua that grows, the peiros that grow because the moon is shining. So because it says Gerish Yirachim, so we have a minig that when you write a get, and you write the date and you get, so you don't write l'chodesh plani, you write l'yerech plani. In Eksuba, it says in l'chumash ki'ikach isha chadosha. So the word chadosha appears in connection with getting married. So that's why the minig is that when you write Eksuba, you write the date, so you write l'chodesh. Kach v'kach, but you write a get, you write liyerach, kach v'kach. Because of these psukim, here it says gerish yachim. That's not Miyakeh B'Dieved, but that's a very old minhag. By the bracha of Binyamin, as the pasuk reads, the Hashuas HaShchina should be Bechelka Shel Binyamin. Yerushalayim was divided. Half belonged to half was Shevet Yehuda, half was Shevet Binyamin. The Gemara has a machlokes HaTanaim, whether Yerushalayim is Chalka L'Shvatim or Lon is Chalka L'Shvatim. We pass Halacha Lon is Chalka L'Shvatim. That the half that was Shevet Yehuda didn't belong to Shevet Yehuda. The half that was Shevet Binyamin didn't belong to Shevet Binyamin. But it was Chalk when they divided the land. That was called Chalka Shel Yehuda. That was called Chalkel Shal Binyamin. The rest of the Eretz Yisrael, whatever was Chalkel Shal Yisachar as well, and belonged to that shape. And Yerushalayim has to be Hamokam Mishvach Hashem Mikol Shevtechem. Has to belong to all of the Shvatim. So that's why we say it was Lon is Chalkel Shvatim. But the Pashtus is, Taisus is bothered with that Kasha. Taisus in Megillah has the Kasha. The Gemara says that in the Baisheni period, the Mizbech was started off on the ground. That was 32 amas by 32 amas. It went up an amma. That was the Yisod. Then it was indented an amma. Instead of being 32 by 32, it was 30 by 30. Then it went up 5 amas, and that's the Seidel, I think. And then it was again indented an amma, and it was, on top it was 28 by 28. And it reached a height of 9 amas high, and then you had the four kronos and the four corners of the Mizbeach, and that was the top of each keren was alama, it was a cube. Each of the kronos was a cube, so that's what we say the Mizbeach Achitzin was 10 amas tall, means the top of the kronos was 10 amas, but the whole Mizbeach was really only 9 amas high. So the Gemara says that there was no the Yisoid was the bottom part in the Baisheni, that was 32 by 32 of cement. They poured in cement over there. So the Gemara says there was, from the 32 Amis on the southern side and on the eastern side, there was only one Amma at the end to the west, and there was one Amma over here from the north going to the south, and the other remaining 31 Amis were missing. There was no Yisod, there was lopsided. It wasn't a complete square. Mara says, why? Because that belonged to Chelka Shel Yehuda. You're not even allowed to have an inch of the Mizbech by Chelka Shel Yehuda. The Marshon, the Chidushi Agoda, on Zvachim, has an interesting comment. When the Gemara says this, he says that Yehuda is supposed to have the Malchus, the government, and the Torah doesn't want that the government should have control of the religion. Even an inch of the Mizbeach can't be Bechel Kashal. You have to have a separation of church and state. That the government should not be in control of the religion. That's the problem with the Rabbanut and Eretz Yisrael. It's under the control of the government. So the chief rabbis are not able to say whatever they want to say. That is a major problem. Anyway, the Gemara says that when the din says, Neshech Nesidrushu, in Parshas Re'eh, when you're interested in building a Beis HaMikdash, you have to try to figure out on your own where is the correct location to build a Beis HaMikdash. After the Tamir Chachamim of the generation determine where they think is the right place, then they have to consult a Navi. So the Gemara says that David HaMelech wanted very much to build a Beis HaMikdash. And every time he was victorious in battle, he would always dedicate, it would always be Makdish, all of the precious metal, the gold and the silver and the copper and everything for the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. Then it came Lemaisa, time to build it. So the Navi told him he can't build the Beis HaMikdash. Damrab Shafachto, he was killing terrorists. He did a big mitzvah. He was killing Palestinian terrorists. Plishtim, we were making trouble then. It's Gevaldik, but the Beis HaMikdash has to be a Mokum Shalom and it has to be built by an Isham. So he was, the Navi told David HaMelech, Damrab Shavachta, you're going to have a son Shlomo. He's going to be an Ishal. He's going to be peaceful during his lifetime. He'll be the one to build the Beis Hamikdash. But David HaMelech made all the preparations. And one of the preparations was he decided that the Rabbanim was supposed to determine where do they think is the best place to build the Beis Hamikdash. So he thought the highest location in Eretz Yisrael is Ein Etim, which is not in Yerushalayim. So then he consulted the Navi L'shich Nesirushu. The Sifrei says Drosh Alpi Navi. The Navi said no, since the pasuk says it ain't Seifav Shachein, so the Hashuas Hashchina will be a little lower than the head of Behema. Being Seifav Shachein, Hashuas Hashchina will be a little lower. So that's the Har Habayis. It's not the highest location. That's why there's we mentioned the problem. How can the Chazal say that Eretz Yisrael Gevoyim Mikol Haratzis and Beis Hamikdash Yerushalayim is Gevoyim Mikol Eretz Yisrael? It's the highest location above sea level. And Eretz Yisrael is Yerushalayim. It's not true. Ein Etim is higher. The Gemara says David HaMelech wanted to build the Beis Hamikdash in Ein Etim. And then the Rabbi told him, no, being Seifav Shochen, you have to have a little lower. So you see that Yerushalayim is not the highest above sea level. So how does the Gemara learn that from a pasuk? The Kamto Yalisa Lamakam. Come to Elisa, wherever you come from, Eretz Yisrael, when you go to Yerushalayim, it's going to be the Kamta, the Elisa. It's always going to be an Aliyah. Why is it always an Aliyah? If you come from Ein Etim, it's going to be a Yerida. That's what we mentioned, the Balamor and Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chof, and the base explains. It doesn't mean which is the highest location above sea level. What it means is, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, what did he hold on top? Did he hold the North Pole on top? Did he hold the South Pole on top? Did he hold New York City on top? Did he hold Moscow on top? What was on top? Well, my Nafkimina, what was on top? So the Balamor says, Nafkimina, for that Sugi and Rosh Hashanah, Dav Chof, and the days, where is the international dateline? However the world was located, whatever was on top, so the Chazal knew that the earth is a globe, and a globe has two hemispheres. So we usually say upper hemisphere, lower hemisphere, above the equator, below the equator. Or we say the western hemisphere where the free world is. And the eastern hemisphere represents Russia. The old world and the new world. We live in the western hemisphere, the new world. But according to the Gemara, the two hemispheres are the top of the upper hemisphere is Yerushalayim, and that hemisphere ends 6 hours to the east and 6 hours to the west. If that's on top of the hemisphere, so the hemisphere has 12 hours of the 24 hours of the globe. So the international dateline should be 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. That's the Balamor. That's the Balamor. And the Chazon Ish wrote his whole essay about that. That all the Rishonim who spoke about the topic all said the same thing. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi and Kuzari and others, they all say the same thing, that the international dateline cuts through the Pacific. The Umas Oilam picked up a arbitrarily dateline that cuts through the Pacific, so it won't bother anybody, because it doesn't cut through, it does cut through a landmass, so they just arbitrarily, they go around the landmass. So that's a Shailandin. What do you do? If the dateline is always 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim, so what do you do? But it cuts through Manchuria. It cuts through Australia and it cuts through Asia. So that's a whole discussion in Chazon Ish and the other poskim in recent years. But that's what the Gemara says on this pasuk. Think Seifav Shochein. On the pasuk in the beginning of Zayis Habracha, Moshe Rabbeinu says, That's the beginning of Ha'azinu. So the Gemara says, when the Kohen Gadol, the Mishnah say, when the Kohen Gadol would pronounce the Shem HaMeforash on Yom Kippur, he would mention the Shem HaFarish three times in the three Viduyim, nine times in another one, three times in each one of the three Viduyim, nine times, then a tenth time when he said L'Shem Chatos, when he did the Hagrola on the Shnei Seirim. So each time he said, Kishem HaShem Ekron, and I pronounced the Shem HaFarish, Everyone had to be korei mishtach v'amodim enof mal p'neim. Yom baruch, baruch shem k'vay malchus aliyah in amvoed. The Rasha writes over there that the minig in Vilna was that the people would kneel on the floor when the chazan would repeat the Shemon Esra, to say the Seder, recite the Seder HaVoidah. And then they would get up from kneeling on the floor. After they stood up, then they would scream out, Baruch Shem Kvod Mechus Elyon. But he thinks that that's a mistake. He thinks that more correct is that they should say Baruch Shem Kvod Mechus Elyon Vod when they're still kneeling on the floor. Some Paskim say that this din, that you have to praise Hashem when you hear someone say Shem Hashem, doesn't only apply the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur when he says the Shem Hamparish 10 times. So then the din required that everyone should kneel on the floor and say a Shebach, Baruch Shem Kvod Mechus Elyon Vod. But all year long when you don't say, when the Kohanim would duchen every day, those who knew the correct pronunciation of the Shem Hamparish would pronounce it. You don't find anywhere that they were Kareem Mishtachve and everybody screaming that Baruch Shem, because the Gemara says in Kiddushin that the other Kohanim would sing a Nigan and drown out the voice of the Kohanim who knew the Shem Hamfarish, so the Tzibur didn't hear the correct pronunciation. On Yom Kippur, they all heard it, but all year long, they didn't hear it. It's a question, if they didn't hear it, so how would the Kohanim Yotzei the Duchening? You have to say B'kol Rom. When you Duchen, you have to recite the Recha Hashem Yishmerechem B'kol Rom. So even if you say it out loud, but the other Kohanim are singing a Nigan, and they drown out the sound of the Kohanim who said the correct pronunciation, So that's not Kol Rom. Kol Rom means that loud enough that all the listeners should be able to hear. I don't know, that is a problem. But we have a practice that whenever someone says a bracha, he says Baruch Atah Hashem, everybody says Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemoy. So somehow that's included also in this din, Kishem Hashem Yerka, the beginning of Ha'azina. Kishem Hashem Yerka doesn't only go when you pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei Kichsovai. It goes even when a person says Hashem in a bracha. The Shulchan Aruch writes, when the Chazan repeats the Chazaras Hashatz, everyone should say Baruch Hu Baruch Shmai, then they should say Amen at the end of each bracha. So in the Sefer Maaseh Rav, they quote that the Vilna Gaon was makpid that they shouldn't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shmai. So there are different understandings what this was all about. Why shouldn't you say Baruch Hu Baruch Shmai? So the close Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon never said, he never explained, or they never heard him say what the explanation is. So in the Seif Maaseh Rav, the Talmidim of the Gro are guessing. So they think that it's probably because, like the following, the Nadi Behuda, who lived also in the 1700s, Nadi Behuda writes in his comments printed on the side of the page in the big Shulchan Aruch, comments are called the Dogel Mervava. So he writes in the Dogma above, if I'm saying Kiddush Abdol and you want to be Yotzei with Shemei Kohina, then it's not right to say Baruch Hu Baruch Shema, because that'll be a hefsek. That's why in Yeshiva, when the Baal Tekeh blows Shofar and he says the Bracha, or the Baal Koreh reads the Megillah on Purim and he says the Bracha is out loud. So the Gabbai always makes an announcement. Everybody should be careful to say Amen. You shouldn't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shema, because then it'll be a hefsek. So that's based on this Nadi Behuda. Whenever I want to be Yotzei with the other person's Bracha, Baruch Hu Shmai would be a hapsik. So the Talmidei HaGro write in their comments on the Maaseh Rav, they're guessing. So they think the reason why the Gro held you shouldn't say Baruch Hu Shmai in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, because the Chazan repeats the Shemon Esrei to be Moitzi, the whole Tzibur. It's a Tfilos HaTzibur. That's how the... On the side of the Rif, you have the Shilta Giborim. The Ramah doesn't call it Shilta Giborim. Ramah quotes it, the Hagos Alfasi. We call it the Shilta Giborim. So the Shilta Giborim, the end of Rosh Hashanah, writes, just like there's a Korban Yochid and a Korban Tzibur, so too there's a Tfilos HaYochid and Tfilos HaTzibur. The Tfilos HaYochid is when you daven Tfilah Belachash, and Tfilos HaTzibur is when the Chazan repeats the Chazaras HaShatz on behalf of the whole Tzibur. Even all the people who heard, even all the people who davened already, what initially the impetus to introduce Chazaras HaShatz was because of the Ein HaBoki. There were people who didn't know how to daven. So in order to be moitzed, ain't a bokeh, so they introduced the Chazor HaSashat. But once they introduced it, that was the motivation to introduce it. Once they introduced it, then they introduced it, even the people who are bekiyim. And they did say the Tefillah B'Lachem. They said every word. They still have to participate in the Chazor HaSashat. That's the Tefillah HaTzibur. Once Banes on behalf of the whole Tzibur. So since that's what the Talmidim of the Gros say, since everybody in the shul wants to be Yotzi, we're all supposed to be Yotzi with the Chazor HaSashat. So just like the Dogam of Ovar wrote, if you want to be Yotzi with someone else's Kiddush and Abdullah, or Birchas HaMegillah, or Birchas HaShefer, you shouldn't say Baruch Hu Hashem, it'll be a Hepsik. So that's why the Vilna Gaon said, you shouldn't say Baruch Hu Hashem, it'll be a Hepsik. Well, let's say the other fellow is saying, I always say that 15 Birchas HaShachar before the Chazan, and then that the Maharaj Dam writes like this in the first Tshuva in Chelek HaRachaim, that the Chazan gets up and he says all the 15 Birchas HaShachar, and everybody in Shul says Amen. So Shemek Koine, so Yoytze another 15 Brachas for the purpose of the Meir Brachas B'chol Yom. The Gemara has a din, some Rishonim hold it's a din deraisa. Pashtus, it's only a din with the Rabbanon, that you have to recite Me'er Brachas B'chol Yom. So even if you didn't recite the Brachas yourself, but if someone else said the Brachas, I already said Brachas HaShachar, but if someone else says, and I listen from the beginning to the end, and I'm not mapsik in the middle, I say Amen, I didn't say Baruch Hu Roshmai, then it counts as if I said another 15 Brachas. If I said another 15 Brachas, it's Oyla for the Shema Kain is Zoyla for the purpose of Meir Brachas. Mishnah Berurah writes, not so. He thinks that it only counts, let's say, if someone else said Kiddush, and I want to be Yotze with Kiddush, I'm being Yotze with it, then it counts. But I already said Birchas HaShachar, and someone else is saying Birchas HaShachar, I'm just answering Amen, that doesn't count. But the Maharaj Dam thought it's not so. And this was a common practice by a lot of Hasidish Minyanim, that before they said Baruch Shama, they already had Meir Brachas. Because each person may get up and say all the 15 Birchas HaShachar, everybody would say Amen. Then the next one gets up and he says all the 15 Birchas HaShachar, everybody said Amen. So you already have 30 Brachas. Then the next two people say 15 and 15. They already have 60 Brachas. So you can have Meir Brachas before you even get to Baruch Shama in the morning because of Shema Kaina. So the Mishnah Berurah thinks that it's not correct. He doesn't accept that opinion. He thinks that the Meir Brachas are only Brachas that you need, that you have to be Yotze with them. So that's the that's what the Talmidei HaGra explained. They think that that's the reason why the Gra would be makbe not to say Baruch Hu Shmai. The Mishnah Berurah writes a different explanation why. He says because the Chazanim daven quickly. Let's say the Chazan saying Baruch Atah Hashem HaKel HaKadosh. How many syllables are there? HaKel HaKadosh. It's five syllables. Baruch Hu Uvaruch Shemo is something like seven, eight syllables. So if the Chazan is not going to pause, if Baruch Atah Hashem, he's not going to pause, so the Tzibur is going to say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemai, and the Chazan is going to continue to say Okel HaKadosh. So how are they going to answer Amen? That's going to be an Amen Yisayma. They're going to answer Amen after two seconds or half a second after the Chazan already finished the Baruch Okel HaKadosh, Chonen HaDoas. But the Mishnah Berurah writes, if the Chazan will pause after Baruch Atah Hashem and give the Tzibur a chance to say Baruch Hu Baruch Shmai, and then after they finish saying Baruch Hu Baruch Shmai, then the Chazan will continue to end off the Bracha, even the Vilna Gaon would agree that that's okay, that everyone should say Baruch Hu Baruch Shmai. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. But the Talmidei HaGra, who wrote these comments on the Maaseh Rahab, didn't think that that was the Pshat. They thought that the Gra meant that it's a Hepsik in the middle of Chazor HaSashatz. Even if you will answer Amen properly, even if the Chazan will pause after the Haskar Hashem Hashem, you still shouldn't answer Baruch Hu Baruch Shmai. Rav Soloveitchik thought a whole different explanation why. He thought the Gra was opposed to answering Baruch Hu Baruch Shmai on any bracha. Not only if you need it for Meir Brachas, not only if you need it for Kiddush and Avdolah. You should never answer Baruch Hu Baruch Shmai. So he quoted from Rav Chaim Volozhin and Nefesh HaChaim that whenever we say a Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shevach is always, we're praising the actions of Hashem. We never speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. We have no Hasog at all of what Elikus is all about. So we only praise his actions. But here, if you're going to say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo, so Shemo is his description. But you say Baruch Hu, so if you say Baruch Elokeinu Shebaranu Lechvodo, so we're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he created us. Even though we say Baruch Hu Elokeinu Shebaranu Lechvodo, not really saying Baruch Hu. When you say Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Baruch Pi Adama, so you're not really saying a bracha to Hashem, you're saying a bracha to the fact that Hashem created vegetables, Baruch Pi Adama. All the brachas are like that, but Rav Soloveitchik thought here, when you say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shema, so you're saying a bracha to the essence of God, and a bracha to the description of Elokus, Shmo. So then you're saying a bracha to the essence of God, that's not proper. So I remember when he was presenting this for the Balabatim in the yeshiva, the students used to tremble. We never asked any kashas in the middle of shiur. But by the Balabatim, the shiur that he gave every Tuesday night in Maria, so they felt free to ask kashas. So they started asking from Adon Olam, from this and from that, so many different tefillas. We do say Lashonis like that, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shmoy. Yeah, but a lot of times like that. I don't know, Rav Soloveitchik thought that that was the pshat, that the Vilna Gaon was opposed in general to answering Baruch Hu, Baruch Shmoy. They tell the story that I think the Baba Sali was marrying off one of his children, if I'm not mistaken. So he wanted to be Mechabed the Rishon Etzion, the Sephardic chief rabbi, to be Mesadik Kiddushin. He felt you have to be Mechabed the Rabbanut, as opposed to others who were always attacking the Rabbanut. So he felt you have to be Mechabed the Rabbanut. So he had one of them, I think from Mort Chavio, if I'm not mistaken. He had him be Mesadik Kiddushin by one of his children when they got married. So the Matchalio told the Chosin Kala, he's going to say the Broche, and they should say Amen, but they shouldn't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shema, because they're supposed to drink the wine. So the Baruch Hu Gofen is for them. So the Baba Sali, even though he asked him to be in Zion, he said, no, our meaning in Morocco was that we always say Baruch Hu Baruch Shema, even on a Broche that you're being Yotze. It's a real din, you got to say Baruch Hu Shema, and that's not a Hepsit. Okay, so if that's their meaning, that's their meaning. They follow the Mechaber. That even a Chazar Sashatz, you also have to say Baruch Hu Shmoy, and they don't consider it a hefsek, because it's a real din. They hold that it's learned out in this pasuk Kishem Hashem Ekra. That's the beginning of Hazino Kishem Hashem Ekra Vegodol Elokeinu. I remember many years ago when I was in Rabbi Tendler's class, the first year in high school. Rabbi Tendler taught us an awful lot of Gemara and Chumash and Chal Yodom. So I remember every year Parshas Bereishis, I remember what he told us over in the name of the Malbim on the Chet of the Eitz Hadas by the Catholics. They make such a big fuss about the original sin. So we understand why it's written in the Torah, because it plays such a prominent role. But we don't hold so much from the original sin. What does it have to do with me? Nav shachatasi tomus. Whoever sinned should be punished. I didn't sin. Why should I? We don't believe that everyone is born into sin. Everyone is born with a tainted soul. The Rabban Shalom created us with a pure soul. When we sin, so we soil our soul. We contaminate the soul. But when we were born, we're not born into sin. So why does the Torah tell us the whole story of the original sin? What's the significance? So the Malbim has a whole explanation. Remember Rabbi Tendler Zechan Lebrocha said it over, that the Torah is describing a typical Aveira. And just like after the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, then they realized they weren't dressed before. The whole time they were walking around, they weren't dressed. But they didn't realize that. The Gemara says, if a person does an Avera, so he rationalizes and he talks it into himself that it's not an Avera. So that's why we call it the Chet. The Malbim quotes this from the Mekubalim. The Chassidish Sfarim have this also. Why it's called Eitz Hadas Tovara? Because you have Tovara Meuravim Zebzeh. Before they ate from the Eitz Hadas, they knew this is Tov and this is Ra. And this is Emes and this is Sheker. They knew everything was clear. And after you sin, then you start to rationalize, and then it's Tovara Meuravim Zebzeh. Everything is confused. And the Torah tells us what are the typical things that you have to watch out for. That Kishamata Lekol Ishtecha, the Medrash says that Chava was crying. So sometimes the wife pressures the husband. You're not going to go along with me. You don't love me. So the husband gives in to his wife. Or not only husband and the wife. Sometimes the wife gives in to the husband to do improper things. Or friends give in to each other. So the Torah gives us typical ways that people fall in with sins. And after we sin, then the neshama is no longer Torah. Then it's Tovah Ra'ah Merovim Zebizah. So remember, every year on Parshas Bereishis, I remember all the time what Rabbi Pendler told us, Pash Peshat and the Pasuk. Ramban writes in his drasha, Ramban had to leave Spain. He had to run away from Spain after his famous dispute with the Jewish Meshumad. And he showed the way the Jewish religion is emes, and Christianity is all sheker, and it's based on misinterpretations and gemaras, misunderstandings. So he had to run away, so he ran to Eretz Yisrael. So he gave a drasha in Yerushalayim, there was hardly barely a minyan. He gave a drasha, and it's printed, drasha Saramban on Rosh Hashanah. And one of the important things is he explains, where did the Tanakh get this idea from, that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin? It never says in Tanakh anywhere that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. So he said this was an oral tradition from the days of Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon told his children, and they told their children, that when we say B'tishrei Nivra HaOlam, the world was created, Becha B'tishrei means that was the sixth day of the Sheshes in Bereishis. Adam HaRishon was created on Rosh Hashanah. The 5 days that preceded were prehistoric. There's nobody there. In fact, it's interesting. Usually people assume the Hasidim don't sit in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So that's why they don't say the Dovid HaShemori on Shmini Atzeres. And the Misnagdim do sit in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So that's why they do say the Dovid HaShemori. Because we say the Pasuk, Ki Yizbeneinim B'Sukkah B'Yom Roh. Yastireinim says, Allah B'Tzur Yiramimei. Speak about sitting in the Sukkah. So the Baal HaTanya writes, if I'm not mistaken, in the Siddur, that's not why. Even the people who do sit in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres, they don't say the Dovid Hashem Ori. We don't continue to say the Dovid Hashem Ori through Hashanah Rabbah because we're still sitting in the Sukkah. That's not why. We say it for 26 days, he says, because the Gematria of Yudkei Vavkei is 26. And if you start from, I think if you start from Rosh Chodesh, we recite the Dovid Hashem Ori because of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Ori b'Rosh Hashanah v'Yishi b'Yom HaKippurim. And we only say it for 26 days, which the 26 days, starting from the first day of Sheshes Mei Bereishis. So that's 5 days before Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah was the sixth day of Sheshes Mei Bereishis. So the 26th day, starting from 5 days before Rosh Hashanah, is always going to be Hashanah Rabbah. He says, you don't say the Dovid Hashem Ori on Shmini Atzeres, even the people that do sit in Sukkah. There's nothing to do with sitting in the Sukkah. It's because you only say 26 days. But the Ramban writes in his Drasha L'Rosh Hashanah that the same day Adam HaRishon was created, that Zechad B'Tishrei was the sixth day of Bria Shamayim V'Aretz. So the same day he was instructed not to eat near Tzadas, and he didn't have enough self-control. And he violated the din the same day. He didn't have enough self-control. That's what the Ramban quotes, Ramban on Chulin quotes, a medrash, Mi galo afer me'enecha Adam HaRishon. Someone should dig out Adam HaRishon from his grave and take out the dust. He's buried afer atav alaf atoshu, his offer on his eyes. They should take the offer off of his eyes and open up his eyes and let him see the Jewish people. He didn't have self-control enough to be careful not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. The Ramban quotes a Medrash that if Adam HaRishon would have waited till Leil Shabbos, it would have been mutter to eat from the Eitz Hadas. It was only Asa that day. It wasn't going to be Asa Le'Yom HaVatz. He didn't even have self-control to wait a couple of hours till the end of the day not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. If he would have waited, it would have been mutter. So he sinned the same day, and he was chased, he was judged and punished all on the same day. And he was told that in all future generations, Rosh Hashanah will be the Yom HaDin, all of his descendants. It's not only the Yom HaDin for the Jewish people. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin for all the Yom HaSoilim as well. Adam HaRishon was not Jewish. It was the Yom HaDin for Adam HaRishon, and it's that he was punished. In fact, a psychologist told me that some acquaintance of his once had a birthday party for one of his children when they were very young. And they were all young children. I think they were all younger than 10. And they had, and he put each one in a one after the other in a room. And he showed them they can tell time by looking at the clock. And he said, if they'll wait an hour and they won't eat the cookie, then I'll give them a whole box of cookies later on. But if it comes at the end of the hour and they will have already eaten up the cookie, then they're not going to get the cookies. So some of the children had self-control because they realized if you don't eat the cookie for an hour, then we're going to get a whole box of cookies. It's going to pay off. So he took this acquaintance of his, took videos. It's probably against the law now without permission from the parents. But at that time, this was a maaseh from years ago. So those who had self-control, and you see the child with the cookie with the clock ticking away in the video. And so some of them ate the cookie right away. They didn't even wait 2 minutes. Some of them waited half an hour, then they ate the cookie. And some of them waited till the end of the whole time, the whole hour. They controlled themselves. And then they got the whole box of cookies. So he said the father was a psychologist. So the father followed the other children for the next 30 years. So those who had self-control not to eat the cookie with the cheshbon that they'll get, it'll pay off at the end, they did well in school, and they married well, and they made panosa well later on in life. They did well. And those who didn't have self-control, they didn't do well. Derech klal. Generally speaking, they didn't do so well in school, and some of them had difficulties getting married and parnasa, and some of them got divorced later on in life. That self-control is very important. So that's what the Medrash says. Mi galoa from einecho de marishain. You didn't have self-control. You could, if you would have waited till Leil Shabbos, it was created. Adam Rishon was created on Erev Shabbos, the sixth day of Bria. You would have waited till Leil Shabbos, would have been mutter to eat from the Eitz Hadas. You didn't have self-control. So. So we should show him, the Jewish people, that we plant a tree and we wait 3 years. Or no, we don't eat the peres for the first 3 years. A couple is married and the wife didn't go to mikveh, so you have to wait at least a week. You have to wait Shivan Akim, and then you wait a week. And that's the medrash that the Ramban quotes, we shech the behemah. And the shechita is good, but then you wait for a while. You have to check to make sure there's no sircha on the lungs. If there's a sircha on the lung, that we won't eat it. That's the Ramban talks about the beginning of Chulin. Both the Ramban and Chidush Ramban, as well as Ramban and the Melchamas on the Rif, has kemat word for word the same thing, that we only check for sircha on the lungs. That's a miyot hamotzi. So that's the issue with bugs and vegetables or shatnas and clothing. When are you mechuyev? To what extent is one mechuyev to check and one is he not mechuyev to check? So that's the klal from that Rambam. Whenever the Zemir Tamotze said that midirabonim, you're not allowed to go basurai. You have to be boidik midirabonim. Whenever Zemir Tamotze, then you're not mechuyev to be boidik. So sirchas on the lungs, that's a Zemir Tamotze. And the other treifas are usually Zemir Tamotze. Sometimes the other treifas, certain seasons of the year, they'll also be a Zemir Tamotze. So then the same thing would apply to them, that you would have to be biting. So that's this interesting Ramban, that the Eitz Hadas was only also, he quotes a Medrash, it was only also that day. If they would have waited till the evening, it would have been mutter. And Adam Rishon didn't even have self-control to wait till the evening. Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us, Hakinim Atayv Vakovid Metziyim Esodam in Ha'olam, means what causes people to lose the Olam Haba. Metziyim Esodam in Olam Haba means what causes people to sin. Hakinam HaTaiva VaKovid. The root of all three, Kinam, Taiva, and Kovid, the root of all three really is Gaiva. People think that they deserve better than they got. The girl that he married, I really deserve to marry that girl. And the job that he got, I really deserve to get that job. He cheated me. He grabbed my job. He went to the boss and he convinced the boss that he's better for the job. I was supposed to get that shidduch and I was supposed to get that job. And I don't have the happiness that I deserve. I really deserve better. So people think always so highly of themselves. They're always balagaiva, human beings. So that's what the Bala Tanya writes at the, in the Tanya. He quotes from the Zohar. What was the sales pitch of the Nochash? So the Medrash says, how did the Nochash convince Chava that they should eat from the, she should eat from the Eitz Hadas? So he told her, how do you think God, why do you think God told you not to eat from the Eitz Hadas? He ate from the Eitz Hadas. That's how he became God. God doesn't want any competition. All the dentists are jealous of the other dentists. And all the shoemakers are jealous of the other shoemakers. Why they're making more parnasa, they're taking away from them. So the same over here. All gods are jealous of the other gods. So God doesn't want to have any competition. So that's why God told you not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. If you eat from the Eitz Hadas, it'll become the Yisim Kelehim Yodei Toivara, a sales pitch. That's crazy. God ate from the Eitz Hadas. That's how he became God. And Chava fell for it, and other Rishon fell for it. A chance to become like God. That's woo. That's mamish gaiva. That's ridiculous. All of us sin. Everybody sins. We all think we're going to get Tanoas Arlamazeh. We're going to get more pleasure from sinning. So the Gemara says, for every trefa food that you're not allowed to eat, there's a kosher food that tastes just as good. You're not allowed to eat basa b'cholam, so the Torah lets us eat kral, the udder of the animal. And you're not allowed to be with an ish zish, but if she's a yafastar, then it's mutter. The Gemara says there are certain trefa fish and certain animals, so the other kosher fish that have the exact same flavor, whatever the Torah called, Mados Rahman Sharon Kabasi, everything the Torah prohibited us from getting on or from, you can find the head there. We talk it into ourselves that the grass is greener on the other side. Grass is not greener. You can find the same Hanoa Beheter that you find the Yisrael. We shouldn't think that only when you do the Aveira, then you get more Hanoa Salamazah. And people usually, when you say Vidui, say that we did all the Averis for Loi Shavalonu, and it didn't pay off. We thought it was going to pay off. We thought we were going to be richer, we're going to be happier in the end. We're going to have a better Shalom Bayis. We don't have a better Shalom Bayis. If we would have been observant, we would have had the same or better Shalom Bayis. We talked it into ourselves, that by doing Averis, it's going to pay. Everything is based on Gaida. That's the root of all of Averis. Okay. We should all be healthy. We'll be better next week. We'll do Parsha again on Thursday about 11:15. Everyone should be healthy. Have a pleasant week.
Right.